And God said,
Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind.
And it was so.
Ah, children, what a tremendous thing God accomplished that day. They tell us that there have existed and now exist some 2 million different kinds of animals.
I wonder if anyone can name all the different kinds.
No, but we can tell a number of things that might help understand the important place animals occupy in the scheme of creation. Listen.
Animals range in size from the microscopic, single-celled protozoa to large creatures such as the giraffe and elephant. All land animals are dependent, directly or indirectly, on plants. Some animals are called herbivorous because they feed only on plants. And although it was not in God's original plan, there are now animals who are carnivorous, preying on other animals for their food.
Cows are a good example of herbivorous animals. The strongest animal, the elephant, is herbivorous.
Lions are a good example of the carnivorous kind.
A third type lives on both plants and meat. These are called omnivorous.
Bears are a good example of this type.
It's easy to see how closely animals depend on plants and each other for survival.
This interdependence is called the balance of nature, and it's a mighty and marvelous complex system.
Since creation, hasn't a gradual change taken place in man and beast?
Yes. Listen to this.
Since man was driven from the Garden of Eden because of sin, man and the animals have developed an even closer interdependence. After the flood, man became a hunter. Then man became a shepherd.
Man domesticated the sheep and made friends with dogs to help him manage his flocks of sheep.
This is the sound of another animal that man has tamed.
The cow became a very useful animal. From cattle, we get beef and milk for our children, butter and cheese, to say nothing of tallow for candles, and hides for leather shoes, belts, straps, and harnesses.
Another animal was tamed that has proved very useful in the history of mankind.
The first sound was galloping horses, but the last sound, what was that?
Well, many people will not recognize the sound of wagons. You hardly hear it in America anymore. But in other parts of the world, horses still help farmers plow their fields and pull their carts and wagons.
Until the invention of the steam and gasoline engines and the electric motor, man's well-being depended to a very large extent on animal power. We still use the term horsepower. Horses, camels, llamas, elephants, yaks, reindeer, water buffalo, oxen, donkeys. What could man, with his limited strength, do without them?
And God said,
Let the earth bring forth creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind.
And it was so.
A more fascinating and diversified part of creation would be hard to imagine. Entomologists estimate that there are over 1 million different kinds of insects. 1 million. Think of it.
And insects are both useful and harmful to man. Who hasn't suffered from flies and mosquitoes? And what gardener hasn't seen his fruit trees or rose bushes ruined by some insect pest? Also, many dangerous diseases are spread by insects.
Yet insects perform a number of very beneficial functions. Many act as nature scavengers, consuming parts of dead animals and refuse. Others, by burrowing underground, help to make the soil more fertile. Some insects kill weeds. Then there's the bee. He provides us with honey. The silkworm spins the thread from which silk is made.
But the most important role of all that the insect plays is in pollinating the plants. Everyone has seen insects in search of nectar, entering the inner parts of flowers and blossoms. As insects feed, pollen from the flower's stamens dust off onto their legs. And when the insect enters another flower, the pollen is transferred into the stigma, thus making the plant fruitful.
The life cycle of many insects is very complicated and interesting.
Tell us about it.
Well, beginning with an egg, laid in some suitable host, usually a plant or the soil, the insect develops into a worm or caterpillar. This, after a time, forms into a pupa or cocoon in which the growing creature remains until it is ready to break the hull and emerge as a full-fledged insect.
And God caused all these things to come into existence on that sixth day.
Yes, and more, too. Much more. But before we get into that second part of the sixth day of creation, I think it would be well to stop for a moment and think. Really think about the vast extent of God's creation. Look at the stars, our nearest neighbors in the universe. Consider the sun, the giver of light. Take heed of the golden wheat growing in the fields. Watch the cattle grazing in the valley. Hear the song of the birds and the chirping of insects. Gaze out over the sea, so full of living creatures. Swim in the blue waters of a lake or lazily flowing stream, bringing exuberant recreation. Climb to the top of yonder mountain. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. God formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Be thankful. Never cease to wonder. Always praise God for the wonderful world he created for our benefit in the beginning.